I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, this is Stephen A. Smith from No Mercy. Festivals, football, flannels. Some say fall is their favorite time of year. And this fall, there are now updated COVID-19 booster shots designed to help protect against COVID-19 variants. If you've had your primary series, schedule an updated COVID-19 booster shot appointment as soon as you're eligible. And don't forget to enjoy the foliage, sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
This is your operating system talking, not your computers or your phones, but your internal human operating system. I'm feeling a little overloaded. Here's how you can ease my stress. Close your eyes or softly gaze at something in front of you. Now inhale for 4 counts, exhale for 6. Keep repeating. Much better. Longer term, there's BetterHelp Online Therapy. They'll match us with a licensed therapist we can connect with via video, phone, or chat. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive and save 10% on our first month.
Odyssey Sports presents Big Time Baseball with MLB insider John Heyman and former major leaguer Tony Gwynn Jr.
Well, it's been a minute, but we are back again. Welcome to Big Time Baseball, the Winter Meetings edition. Tony Gwynn Jr. alongside John Heyman. John, it's been a bit. How are you been?
I'm good. How are you doing, Tony?
I'm doing well. I'm looking forward to really the next 3 days. I mean, winter meetings last from Monday to Thursday, but let's be honest, everybody gets their work done in those first 3 days. Thursdays, it's a ghost town. So we expect, well, at least it sounds like, John, we're expecting a little more action in this winter meetings than we've had maybe last year or the year before. It seems like some dominoes may fall in this particular winter meetings.
Yeah, I mean, it's a ghost town, but it's a beautiful ghost town, as you know, since you do live here in San Diego. We do expect a lot of activity. We were here in San Diego in 2019, and that is when Strasburg, Rendon, and Cole signed all on consecutive days. Not sure we're going to see that, but I would not be surprised if Judge and Verlander went fairly soon. And I think the Judge is the one that's, not to pick on him, but I think he's holding up the market, just that he's the best player. And, you know, he's going to be the biggest contract, we assume. And, you know, I think the Yankees and many other teams are kind of on hold waiting to see what goes on with Judge. But it does appear to be the Yankees and the Giants. We think the Yankees are favored. We'll see how this podcast plays out. But there are surprises in free agency, so I could be wrong.
No doubt about it. Yankees have reportedly upped the ante somewhere in the 8 years, $300 million range. We don't have specific numbers. We'll find out where Aaron Judge falls. But let's work a little bit backwards, because we've already had some pretty significant moves happen before today's beginning of winter meetings. Let's start with Jose Abreu. He was I know he was on the Padres short list. To try to bag him and get him in this lineup. But instead, he signs with an already talented Houston Astro ball club. Tell us how that all came about, and how do you think that fits for this Astro ball club?
Yeah, I mean, he was very popular on the free agent market. Boston had him as their number one outside target. Obviously, they want to bring Bogaerts back, but among outside players on other teams, Abreu was their number one guy. Miami was interested in Abreu, and I believe he does live down there, but it's very easy to go to Houston, the World Series champion. They're going to be outstanding once again, and they, you know, they don't have any weaknesses, but I think they wanted to lengthen their lineup a bit. It kind of dropped off after five with Tucker last year to some degree, at least offensively, and Here they add a piece. I think they're looking at a corner outfielder. They're looking at a catcher. I mean, they could lengthen their lineup quite a bit if they bring back, let's say, Brantley, and they add a Contreras or trade from Sean Murphy, who seems to be on the block with Oakland. So they probably have a couple more offensive moves to do. And, I mean, their pitching is so good that I'm just wondering if they're really going to go crazy to keep Verlander. Verlander was great for them, obviously won a Cy Young, helped them win two World Series. And but it feels like Verlander may end up leaving, whether it's to go to the Dodgers or the Mets. But I do think that offense is their focus. Their pitching is outstanding.
Well, if he doesn't sign, that's another $40 million you have to disperse with whoever it is you bring in. You bring up Contreras because it's not almost. The rich getting richer, really. Even in Jose Abreu's case, that's an upgrade at first base. You bring a guy in like Wilson Contreras, my gosh. I mean, that lineup offensively looked good, and defensively, I don't think there's much of a drop-off. I mean, Maldonado's done a great job defensively. He's one of the best defensive catchers in the league. However, he lacks on the offensive side. So you may give up a tad bit defensively, but you're certainly getting it all back on the offensive side. It's really intriguing to see a team like the Astros coming off of World Series continue to plow forward and bring more guys in.
Yeah, and Contreras is interesting. They actually had a deal in place for him in the middle of the season at the trade deadline, and the owner ended up nixing it when Dusty Baker told him, we don't want to change catchers when our pitchers are doing this great in the middle of the season. It seems to be a different scenario. Offseason, we'll have a chance to work with Contreras in spring training if they do bring him back. I don't think they'll bring back Vasquez because Vasquez – frankly, underperformed in Houston. He was terrific in Boston. He'll certainly have a lot of opportunities. There are other teams, St. Louis, Minnesota, maybe San Francisco, looking at catchers. But, you know, if you add Contreras with Abreu and Brantley, I mean, then they have a dynamic offense as well as pitching.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. Astros continuing to tighten the screws, it looks like, on that American League West, especially if they continue to move forward offensively, bringing a guy in like Wilson Contreras. I don't know if it's a surprise. It's a surprise deal from the standpoint that it came from the Tampa Bay Rays. But it's the biggest contract they've given out in quite some time. 3 years, $40 million to Zach Eflin, who, by the way, had a terrific postseason run. And it's another picture painted that when you go out, no matter what happens during the regular season, when you perform on the big stage, when the lights are at their brightest, people take notice. And I think this is a reward for Zach Eflin and the way he pitched in the postseason.
Absolutely. I mean, Eovaldi is the greatest example of that of all, pitching so great as he did and heroically in the 2018 World Series, and was really rewarded by Boston for that. He is now a free agent. That Eflin deal really set the pitching market afire. I think also the Matt Boyd deal for $10 million, a guy who pitched 13 innings last year and has a lot of lifetime ERA close to five. Now, a talented guy, but $10 million for – you know, a guy with those credentials is pretty impressive. But Eflin to get $40 million, that was a bit of a shocker. There were two teams that were willing to do it, and it was Boston and Tampa. Interestingly, Tampa, which got him, he does live in Florida, and Tampa was, frankly, a better team than Boston last year.
Yeah, so I
really understand that. And Boston, which is run by a Tampa guy, Chaim Bloom. So obviously Tampa, which – has a lot of analytics. They figured a lot out. They see something in Eflin beyond the numbers.
It is the thing we see across baseball's landscape year in and year out. What one team feels like they can fix or they can make a product better. And listen, we've seen specifically the Rays, Dodgers take guys that, you know, may have come off or may not have reached their potential. And all of a sudden they get there and they're different dudes. So there's proof in the pudding for the Rays to do something like this.
I mean, some teams are great with pitching. Cleveland, Tampa, LA, Miami. I mean, they're good with pitching. They're not good with hitting, but there's a handful of teams that are very good with pitching. Other teams are really still trying to figure out the pitching.
Yeah, the other thing is when Rays make a move like this, everybody's antenna should go up because they don't often miss on these moves. Now, obviously, the biggest move thus far in this free agency has been Jacob DeGrom. He signs a five-year, $185 million deal with the Rangers. Now, I have been on one of the stations in Dallas. This has been a subject that has been brought up. They had been thinking about it. Chris Young gets the job done. He brings DeGrom in despite the injury history. He gets paid with a chance for this to get up over $200 million, too, with incentives. Just talk about this deal and how it came about.
Well, I mean, obviously, extremely talented pitcher, but I've been on record saying I thought it was overpriced. But, you know, it's easy for me to say that. I mean, looking at the last 2 years in which he made $400,000 per inning over those 2 years, you know, he thought he was underpaid. He always said he was going to opt out. He was right to opt out. He made a lot more money. Texas agreed with him. Other teams agreed with him. Texas really stepped forward last year. They spent $500 million on Seager and Semien. I mean, they're giving it a shot. Yeah, I mean, remember when Texas did this before with A-Rod, didn't work out for them. You know, we shall see. He's obviously a very talented pitcher, but I mean, you know, I heard that the medical was good. That's great news, but the reality of it is he has not been a dependable pitcher. So, you know, I know some Mets people were upset to see him go, and, you know, part of that is the reaction of the fans, but, you know, I think they can do better with $185 million despite how talented he is. I mean, dependability is a skill to me.
This is your operating system talking, not your computers or your phones, but your internal human operating system. I'm feeling a little overloaded. Here's how you can ease my stress. Close your eyes or softly gaze at something in front of you. Now inhale for 4 counts, exhale for 6. Keep repeating. Much better. Longer term, there's BetterHelp Online Therapy. They'll match us with a licensed therapist we can connect with via video, phone, or chat. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive and save 10% on our first month.
Yeah, no, it is a skill, especially in the game of baseball when you're playing so many games. You want to be able to depend on guys. Now, listen, he does have out-of-this-world stuff. I mean, there just isn't anybody on this planet that's touching 100 almost every pitch with a slider that can be at 93, 94. I mean, he has the type of stuff that gets you paid this way. The question is, can he stay healthy? Certainly from a baseball standpoint, you hope that he can, because having guys like him healthy are only beneficial for the game.
Yeah, I mean, the world's changed. You know, people are paid on velocity more than their actual track record. Now, he has won 2 Cy Youngs, so he's been a very successful pitcher. I'm not denigrating him in any way, but take a look at him and Kershaw. Kershaw is also 34 years old. He is, you know, much more accomplished. Not that DeGrom isn't accomplished. He is. He's had a terrific career, but Kershaw much more accomplished, and he basically got about 1/9. You know, he got about 11% of the money that DeGrom got based on what you think going forward on the velocity and the pitch and scouting. So, you know, it's interesting to see. But, you know, obviously Kershaw didn't want to leave L.A. Legacy, all-time great. I get it. Good for him. Good for the Dodgers.
Yeah, no. I think where you're at different points in your career, priorities are different for the individuals. Obviously, for Kershaw, I don't know that he thinks he has a ton of time left to pitch. I think Jacob is, although he's been injured, I don't think he's nowhere near that. And so we'll kind of see. On the flip side of that, though, I do want to ask from the Mets standpoint, what do you think went into their thinking? Were they able to have a chance to match this or anything like that? Because it would seem that this is going to be a tough piece to replace.
Yeah, I mean, they were not given a chance to match it. They made an initial offer, which was 3 years, and we hear close to $40 million a year. So I think it was a very reasonable offer. I think it was a good offer. You know, I don't think he loved New York. I mean, his teammates felt like he did. I don't know. You know, obviously there was time where the writers weren't in there a lot of time, and they know him better than we do, but we did not seem to think he was enjoying New York very much. So I think he, you know, I think I, based on different people I talked to or who are, you know, I think understanding of the situation, I think he would have loved to go to Tampa. They don't have that kind of money. I do think they made him an offer. Texas also would fit him, I think, probably as well or better than New York. So I think he got one of the places that he wanted to go to. He had told them he wanted to go there. And, you know, I don't know. You know, sometimes in free agency, you'll say something, but I kind of believe it. And he got the money. So good for him. It worked out well for him.
How do you see a timeline for the Rangers? I mean, I look at their roster and they have obviously some good anchors, right? You're up the middle. You're pretty stout. You got a frontline starter. But as we know, that's not usually enough to get you where you need to go. Do they have more money to spend? What's the timeline on this?
Yeah, I mean, well, they're still talking to Rodon. I mean, I don't think they're favorites for him, but you look at the way they spent on two infielders last year, what's to prevent them from spending on two pitchers? So,
yeah, good point.
You know, I'm not ruling anything out for them. Yeah, they look a little top heavy right now, but look, the Washington Nationals won the World Series in 2019 with about a half dozen stars, and the rest of the team was fairly average. So, I'm not ruling it out. They think they have a shot to contend this year and perhaps grab a playoff spot. I don't think they think they're better than Houston. They're not, but, you know, I give them credit for putting in the effort. And you asked about the Mets before. They probably need to go get Verlander or Rodon at this point. The pressure is kind of on because I don't see a starting pitcher of that ilk being traded. Alcantara doesn't appear to be, is not on the market. It doesn't feel like Burns or Woodruff is. If there's a starting pitcher to be traded for, I don't see it. So there's pressure on the Mets to replace DeGrom with somebody somewhat comparable. I mean, no one's going to come up with a pitcher who throws 102 miles an hour. There isn't another one. But Rodon or Verlander would be a good replacement.
Let's move into what we anticipate these next couple of days here in San Diego. Which free agent do you think has the most momentum with a club right now?
Well, I would say, you know, I'm not sure which club, but I would say that Judge and Verlander, there's a lot of action going on with them. And maybe that's me being hopeful because I think those two signings could start to move the rest of the market. But certainly the Yankees are a little bit on hold, waiting to see what goes on with Judge. The Giants are a little bit on hold. The Giants are a team that's going to spend. You know, there's certain teams out there that are really motivated to spend. I think the Giants are one of them. Obviously, we know Texas is. Boston should be. The Cubs should be. It feels like Minnesota in a winnable division is as well. So, you know, I think the market's a bit on hold. And I think Judge, not blaming Judge, happens to be the best player, but the market is a little bit on hold. And we'd like to see. And I think it is possible that Judge deal does get done. And as I've said, and people can save this and tell me I'm wrong, but it seems like people think and want him to go, except for the Giants people, want him to go to New York. They do not.
Yeah, I'm sure the Giants people don't want him to go to New York. Speaking of the Giants, we've seen them really have money to spend the last two seasons. And when option A wasn't there, they pretty much elected to sit it out. Do you think they do the same thing this year, or is this a time now where they got to go out and spend some money now?
I mean, the dynamic has changed for them. They won 107 games 2 years ago, right? And this year they were an average team. I think they were a 500 team. And they were a fairly boring team as well. I mean, as things stand right now, they're 3-4 hitters. I mean, good players, but they aren't going to match up as 3-4 hitters with most teams. Probably Jock Peterson and, I don't know, Mike Yastrzemski. Very good players, but, you know, they need to do some work. I do think they are talking to all the shortstops, and that's probably in case they don't get Judge. In the likelihood they don't get Judge, at least that's what we think. And they are talking to Rodon, who did a great job for him. That was a great signing. You know, they've done a good job with some interesting signings, but the reality of it is, at this point, they're a 500 team.
What happens with – they just signed Brandon Crawford to an extension last year. Two-year extension. Does he move to another infield position? Should they get one of these shortstops?
Yeah, I mean, he's a ball player. He can move to second very easily, and I think there's a little extra value on second now that the shift is being banned. So, you know, you can't just put some lug over at second base. You have to have a good defensive player, and obviously Brandon Crawford is that outstanding defensive player.
Now, you've mentioned Verlander. We've mentioned Judge. We've mentioned Bogarts and Rodon a little bit. Two guys we haven't mentioned, Correa, Carlos Correa, and Trey Turner. Now, listen, I know out here in San Diego, I keep hearing Bogart's name. I keep hearing Trey Turner's name. I mean, are these real scenarios for the Padres? I mean, every year, the last 2 years, I've said, no, there's no way. They don't have that kind of money. And I've been proven wrong. So I'm not going to do that this year. I'm going to lean on folks like yourself to tell me, is that a real possibility for this ball club?
You can't rule anything out with the Padres. I mean, they're serious about winning. A.J. Preller has big guts. Peter Seidler, terrific owner. They want to do what they can. I do think they probably think Machado could opt out after next year, right? So, you know, I think that you have the right two guys. I think it is Turner and Bogarts who they're interested in. Bogarts partly for the leadership. And Turner, that's an interesting one to me because I think we think that he'd prefer to be on the East Coast. And beyond that, you know, I mean, obviously they gather talent and they know talent and they're great at it. But when A.J. Preller got there, he probably acted a little too hastily, he'll admit, when he traded Turner. And it's funny now that he's interested in bringing him back. Not many people would kind of – I mean, we know it was a mistake at this point, would kind of illuminate that mistake for everybody to see. But, you know – I think Turner prefers to be on the East Coast. So, you know, and Bogarts probably prefers to be in Boston if he can. That seems to be a theme of these shortstops, right? I mean, I think we hear that Dansby Swanson prefers to be on the East also. You know, me, I'm living on the East, but I would prefer to be on the West. So, you know, who knows? It's hard to say, but, you know, they all say they're open to everything, but sometimes, you know, family reasons, they prefer one region or another.
It usually has a lot to do with family. It's funny you bring up the A.J. Preller and Trey Turner situation. I happened to be in AAA in 2015 with the Nationals. Trey Turner had – I don't know if he had to sit out the first half, but he wasn't allowed to be moved until the second half of the season. And I remember Trey Turner coming into the locker room and me and him having a conversation and him telling me at that time – this was 2015, so this is 7 years ago. A.J. Preller was doing everything he could to try to find a way to get him out of that trade and get him back because I think he knew that he might have made a mistake. As you said, he acted a little too hastily. And so it's not a surprise that A.J. Preller is in the hunt. He knows talent as well as anybody in this.
You know
in
that
this
situation. You're a San Diego guy who has connections to the Nats, so – it was a weird situation because, I mean, he's a poor guy. You know, he was on one team and was with the other team that he for a while, right? So,
yeah.
As a drafted player, you know, I hope they – I don't know. Did they fix that rule? I don't know. That was a bizarro thing that we haven't seen since.
We haven't seen it since. And, you know, when
they don't do it anymore.
When you're a young guy that gets drafted by a team, in your mind you think you're going to be with that team – your entire career. And I think that's where Trey was at the time. Now that he's got a taste of the big league life, maybe he feels a little bit differently. He wants to stay closer to family. He's got a family of his own now. So he's in a much different situation than he was 7 years ago.
Right. He's from Lake Worth, Florida. So I think he'd like to be spring training. You know, as it turned out, the Nats were perfect for him, you know, located on the East Coast. Plus their spring training is only about 25 minutes from Lake Worth. So that was perfect. Not now. Now it's not going to The Phillies are the big threat for Turner, I think.
Yeah. Listen, again, another team that got pretty deep. World Series deep.
Yeah, I know.
And that would be a bonus. And you have to remember, in the same way that the Padres made the moves they made to bring in Soto, knowing they were missing Tatis, it would be the same thing because Harper's going to be out at least for the first half of the season. You want some offensive production. You don't want to lose all of that. And Trey Turner certainly could fill some of that void.
Yeah, I mean, Turner has the connection to Harper with the Nats. You know, Bogarts there has the connection to Dave Dombrowski, who was with the Red Sox. And Bogarts was a shortstop for them when they won in 2018. So Philly's got some connections, but they had a meeting with Swanson. They've talked to Correa. But it feels like Philly will get a shortstop, not necessarily Turner, but that seems to be the favorite right now. Would be Philly for Turner. I would say Twins probably favored for Correa. Bogarts could be anything. They're having trouble with Boston, but, you know, we assume that he'd prefer to go back there if he could. But San Diego and many other teams really like him.
I tell you what, I feel like not enough people are talking about Xander because he is a fine, fine ball player. Any team that gives him will certainly have an upgrade. I want to talk to you a little bit about the trade market. We don't often talk about the trade market during this time of year. It's usually the free agents, but this trade market has been fruitful for some teams. We saw the Seattle Mariners and Milwaukee Brewers make a deal. All of a sudden, Brian Reynolds of the Pirates has asked the organization for a trade. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that they'll be willing to trade him. No. He's been in trade conversations really the last two seasons. What is this trade market shaping up to be this offseason? Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's certainly guys who are out there. I think the Marlins pitchers, they're not going to trade Alcantara, who won the Cy Young, but they're going to listen on Luzardo and Cabrera and Pablo Lopez, who's been on the trade block seemingly forever. Milwaukee already traded Renfro and Wong. I'm sure teams are gunning for their top pitchers, Burns and Woodruff. I think they're holding on to them. So, you know, I think we've seen a couple good trades, but I'm not sure we're going to see a bunch more trades. You know, Pittsburgh doesn't have to trade Reynolds. And I understand, they're talking internally like they're going to keep him. You know, his agency, CAA, that worked with the Marlins when they wanted Realmuto dealt. They said he wants to go and they dealt him. That doesn't always work. And it doesn't appear to be working in this case. The Pirates, you know, they've already lost a lot of good players. I don't think their fans would take too kindly to a trade of Reynolds. They did offer him the biggest deal that they've ever given anybody beyond the Key Brian Hayes offer. But we don't know exactly how many years or what, but he certainly should have been offered more than him because, you know, obviously he's a much more accomplished major leaguer. And, you know, I think it would be good for Pittsburgh if they just signed him. I think that would be the better thing to do.
Yeah. Listen, at some point you got to start trying to win some ball games and continuing to trade and restock with young guys who, by the way, are no guarantee that they'll get up to the big league level and be successful. You're doing your fans a disservice. So hopefully, you know, I always favor the player and what they want. But if you're an organization like the Pirates, I think you got to hang on to a guy like this. You can't keep starting from scratch and working from the bottom.
They're going to get great offers for him. I mean, there are a few outfielders on the market. Jan Judge, who's the top guy. There's Nimmo and Benintendi, Yoshida, Henniger. But, I mean, Brian Reynolds is an outstanding center fielder who can hit, and they could get a ton for him. But that would not send a good message, and I think they're concerned about that.
Well, let the games begin. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday usually will be where the action falls. John, I know you got to get out of here because you're a TV star as well. So appreciate you coming on with me, Tony. And we'll do it. We'll do it again next week.
All right. Great talking to you, Tony.
All right, John. Take care.
See you.
This is your operating system talking, not your computers or your phones, but your internal human operating system. I'm feeling a little overloaded. Here's how you can ease my stress. Close your eyes or softly gaze at something in front of you. Now inhale for 4 counts, exhale for 6. Keep repeating. Much better. Longer term, there's BetterHelp Online Therapy. They'll match us with a licensed therapist we can connect with via video, phone, or chat. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive and save 10% on our first month.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.